And we have bringing you another special edition of It's Your Money, Your Life with the Berry Good Food Foundation in control. So with that, I'd like to introduce the founder of the Berry Good Food Foundation, and her name is Michelle Ciccarelli-Lirac. Michelle, welcome back.
Thanks, Joe. It's nice to be here. And don't forget, we have the additional co-host of...
Oh, we're going to get to him in a second.
Tommy Two-Tone.
We're going to get to him in a second.
But Tommy the Chihuahua.
But tell us tonight, just set the table or the reel, rods and reels, and tell us what the show is about tonight.
We're talking about sustainable seafood. You know, we had a panel earlier this week, myths, truths and misinformation, because there's a lot of bad information out there, and sometimes it's really hard to get good information about how much seafood do I eat, what kind of seafood do I eat, are all fish created equal, which is good for me, which is good for the ocean, good for my community, you know. And everybody, I think, wants to do the right thing. It's sometimes just hard to figure out what that is, and so we've got some people here today who can tell you all about it.
Yeah, well, we do, you know, fish farming is an issue, and now we know there's a lot of plastic and other things in the ocean. We want to know if our fish is safe and what the government may or may not be doing about that. But anyway, with that, our other guest this first segment is a fifth-generation fisherman. He's a native San Diegan, a Portuguese background. He's a fishmonger at Catalina Offshore Products. He's the founder of Collaboration Kitchen. His name is Tommy Gomes. Tommy, welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Good evening, and thank you again for inviting me back.
Our pleasure. Well, Michelle only gets the best, and this is a stellar panel tonight, and you are in the leadoff slot like Dexter Fowler for the Cubs, so how does that feel? So we're expecting a home run in Game 7 here.
I'm a hockey fan.
Okay.
I don't even know what sport we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, people.
Hockey's fun, too. We actually have to get to a couple of Gulls games this year because I know you love those things. But anyway, Michelle, you've got Tommy here. What are the things you'd like to ask of him?
I'm just going to, you know, start with some overview issues. Some of the things that I think most people probably aren't aware of. 90% of the seafood that we eat is imported. 50% of that is farmed. 30% approximately is possibly illegal, underreported, unregulated. And only 2% is inspected by the FDA. And so those are some pretty serious numbers I'm guessing most of your listeners weren't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is to know your source, buy local. And that's where guys like Tommy come in. So Tommy, as you said, he's a fifth-generation fisherman right here. His grandfather's one of the founders of the Portuguese Hall, where we had our talk earlier this week. So tell us, Tommy, what's a person who wants to eat a fish supposed to do?
Well, you know, those are all great stats and good points. You know, as our planet gets smaller because our population grows and grows, there's a lot of things that come into effect here. Farmed fish, for one, you know, not all farmed fish is bad. There's good and bad in everything throughout our planet. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that key points is the influx of the imported seafood that's caught and harvested legally and illegally all over the world, and it's coming in not inspected by the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other great things that are key points is, for me, fishermen like me, we're a dying breed. We're like the American farmer, the auto worker, the steel worker. We're
the
a dying
farmer.
Breed.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why is because our electronics have become so precise that there's nowhere for these fish to hide anymore.
Mm.
And even if you had a kayak, you can go to a big box store like Walmart, spend $99 and get a fish finder and go out and find a rock and pound that thing until there's nothing on it anymore. So...
And tell me about these fishing vessels. I mean, the nets are mile. How long are some of these nets? These are like floating factories, right?
Yeah, you know, San Diego at one time up until 1985 was the largest fishing fleet in the world. The largest in the world.
And the tuna capital of the world.
We had 11 major canneries. Ralston, Purina, A.J. Hines, Checkerboard Square, Bumblebee, Starkist, you name it. It was here.
Gosh.
We had one cannery that was so big that it fed... 72% of the world's tuna was coming out of just that one cannery.
Who knew that?
So our biggest boat out of San Diego, and this is just an example, our biggest tuna boat out of San Diego carried 2,200 tons. They have vessels now that carry close to 3,000 tons, and from start to finish, they can put 60 ton on the boat from start to finish in an hour and a half.
But let's talk about for a minute, because that's clearly true, and in a global scale, we definitely have some situation with overfishing, right? But let's talk about the differences between our experience locally and nationally in terms of, you know, we've taken steps, right? We've taken steps to make sure that we don't overfish and that we make sure to maintain the fish population. So, you know, tell me what are the reasons that someone, you know, if we say, hey, buy local, what's the benefit? What do you think?
Well, overfishing and overfished are both illegal if you're a U.S. flagged vessel right off the bat. You cannot actively engage in either one of those operations if it's deemed overfished.
How good is enforcement, though?
Enforcement is pretty good because
pretty good here.
You've got pingers on the boat. You know, there's nowhere to hide for the fish. There's also nowhere to hide for the fishermen anymore. Everything is done through satellite tracking, through the government and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sustainability plays a big part. You have to know your source. You have to look. When you go to the store and you buy a piece of fish and it's in a styrofoam tray and on that sticker is the weight, the day it was packed, not the day it was caught, the day it was packed.
Mm.
And the country of origin. So you want to look at that country of origin. I mean, do you really want to buy a piece of fish coming out of Namibia?
Well, that's the thing. Look, if we do have laws here, they are pretty well enforced, and we're making really serious efforts to maintain our fish population at the same time feeding a population that wants to eat seafood. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think there definitely is a big difference there. So as he says, look, first of all, if you really can, and it's possible in more communities along the coasts, each and every day in the United States, know your fisherman, okay? And I've been told that fisherman is a gender-neutral term because fisher is kind of hard and fisherperson feels weird. So I mean that in a gender-neutral way.
Okay.
But look, know that person who caught that fish. How did they catch it? Where did they catch it? You know, like I was talking to a scientist that we had on the panel earlier about fish toxicity, because we've heard a lot of stuff about some fish have lots of toxins and so on and so forth. And, you know, basically it's like, how big is the fish? How long did it live? And where was it caught? Because where was it caught, right? Which is like, what kinds of water did it live in? What was the environment it lived in, right? And so knowing these things is not only good for the environment, it's probably better for your health. And then let's go back to the first point. We were talking about like fishing capital, tuna fishing capital of the world. This is San Diego. These are our friends and neighbors. This is a community mm-hmm. that we want to support.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to support them in a way that is going to be eco-friendly. But mm-hmm. that's possible. You know, we don't want to be in a negative growth rate with fishermen just like we are with farmers. Because what are we going to eat? And is it all going to be imported? And if it is, then we know we have issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's plug Tommy's location because Catalina Offshore Products, if you want to see fresh fish coming in every day on pallets, right, Tommy?
Yeah, we buy direct from the boats, and we have boats up and down the left coast is what we like to say.
Yeah.
But, Michelle, you know, you touched on a lot of points there, and, you know, you have to know your fishermen and know your source. And this was started, the mercury scare in the 70s with tuna. Don't eat tuna because of the mercury scare. And then tuna prices started to creep up and fishermen were making money. And then came that mercury scare. And the pork industry started growing and growing and growing. And then we had the swine flu. And then mm-hmm. we had the mad cow. And then the prices of our proteins are fluctuating and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more at stake here than just the fisherman and the farmer.
Mm.
You know, it's a game that's played on the economic value of the proteins in which we're consuming.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at it that direction, too.
Mm-hmm.
Also, our American fishermen are some of the most regulated fishermen in the world. And just like everything else, we have good and bad, and we have mostly good that are following the rules and regulations set forth by the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I'd like to slam home on is that when you buy a local fish or you buy local food from your local farmer, you're keeping that money here.
Mm-hmm.
You're supporting Little League. You're supporting Girl Scouts. You're supporting all
kinds. Local taxes.
Mm-hmm. Local taxes. Well, hopefully you can pay cash at the dock and not worry about it.
I don't know. My mic went out.
Speaking of which, Tommy Gomes with Catalina Offshore Products. We'll be right back with more of Sustainability and Seafood right after this. Hang on.